Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time. My guest this week is a comedian who was, in fact, the first woman to win the UK's biggest comedy prize, the Perrier Award, all the way back in 1995. As well as stand-up, she's also a best-selling author and a TV presenter whose new book, Older and Wider, A Survivor's Guide to the Menopause, was released earlier this year. She's dedicated it to, quote, all the menopausal women out there, because there's loads of us scurrying around in a furious temper, faces like hammerhead sharks, wondering what the hell to have for tea, all with the combined temperature of a billion trillion degrees. I should add that this is also a podcast too for her, which she hosts alongside Judith Holder on Older and Wider. Born in Kuala Lumpur, where her father, Derek Hargreaves, was an army major and stationed there, the family eventually returned to the UK when she was just 2 years old and settled in Lytham St Anne's. In her late 20s, she met her partner, Jeff Powell, and together they have a daughter, Phoebe, who's a playwright now. So let's dial her up. I can't wait. It's Jenny Eclair. Jenny Eclair, so nice to see you. Normally, it's in the park.
Yeah, we're like park buddies because we're locals. We're South London girls. South London girls.
Girls, as they say.
Girls. Girls. Yeah, we're just girls. We're just a couple of South London girls. You are wearing a La t-shirt.
La!
La!
You know who makes these?
I can't remember. Who makes them?
Philip Norman in Brixton Village.
Yes, and a lot of the money that you pay for the T-shirt goes to the AIDS charity.
Terence Higgins Trust.
I bought the large, and of course I should have bought the extra large. For those who don't know what we're talking about, keep with the programme. It's the T-shirts that have the slogan La on the front from the TV series It's a Sin. You got the white T-shirt with the black. I got the black with the white. It's a bit tight on me, Kate.
What the hell happens when we get to a certain age and everything just goes in one direction?
Swells.
Swells. Bloats. What is that?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? I've just cleared out the boot of my very old car. And obviously, because my car is so old, it leaks. I mean, she is like me, actually.
Why?
She's
Why is
rusty.
Your car so old?
Because I've never got round to buying proper cars. It's just another thing that I've never done. I've never spent more than £2,000 on a car.
Is my mind deceiving me, or do you not have some kind of really sexy old vintage car, or is that Jeff?
We have had many sexy vintage cars. Jeff has gone through many phases in cars. Jeff is my partner. He's a 72-year-old man, and I think in his lifetime he's had probably 72 cars. I mean, he went through a terrible vintage Jag phase at one point, and some of them never even made it home. They would just explode on the motorway. He'd go meet a bloke, you know, at some service station just outside of Birmingham, and he'd ring me up from a service station.
That's so dodgy.
I bought a new Jag, and then the next thing is, it's just collapsed on the road and I'm being towed home.
Oh, good.
But anyway, so yeah, why my car is like me. My car leaks, right, like I do a little bit. And the boot was waterlogged and I had all these books in there to take to a charity shop. And of course, no charity shop's been open for a year.
No.
So they have all bloated because the rain got into the boot, and this boot is full of swollen, mouldy books, and that's like us. we've kind of bloated and swollen, but we're not mouldy. At least we're not mouldy. See? Look on the bright side.
Normally, I would have really relished doing this podcast with you. Ideally, Jenny, and you know, do you remember we've been sat there before outside the dog in Dulwich Village?
Oh,
it's
nice.
A lovely spring day.
It's a beautiful day for it.
It is, isn't it? We could have had a bottle of rosé, a mic to share, and that was how this podcast was conceived.
Yeah, but I'm not drinking any of your rosé muck.
Well, what do you want?
I'm so not a rosé girl. Rosé to me, it sort of brings up the same violence in me as fascinators. There's something about rosé and fascinators. They two go together and I want to smash both of them up and punch them in the face. This is for absolutely no good reason. I've got no excuses to be so viciously opposed to either thing, but I'm a Chardonnay girl.
Are you? I can't stand Chardonnay.
Yeah, the world divides.
Really,
I'll drink your Chardonnay, you drink my rosé. We'll be fine. We'll have to get a bottle each.
It's quite heavy, isn't it?
I like a heavy, oaky, smoky Chardonnay. I like it to taste like the person who pressed the grapes was doing it with a great big pair of yellow feet.
That's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Hangover. Like the next day's hangover. That's it. It tastes like hangover to me.
Whereas for me, the Sauvignon Blanc tastes like cat's piss.
There you go.
It's a good job we don't all like the same thing. Otherwise, there'd be fights down the supermarket
Exactement.
Aisle. Yeah.
I'll see you outside the big Sainsbury's, Jenny Eclair.
I'm doing click and collect now, love. I'm doing click and collect because I was having too many fights in the supermarket.
For the dear listener, Jenny and I live near each other, and Jenny does live very close to the big Sainsbury's. And I drive past your house quite a lot, actually, after going to the big Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
But it is the scene of many a skirmish in the pandemic because, for some reason, some people just don't seem to understand. Wear the frickin' mask.
Absolutely. And are you an interferer, Kate? Do you say
yes.
things?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a botherer. Normally, we would debate each question over a glass of wine. The idea being, by the end of the podcast, three glasses of wine down, everyone's had a lovely time.
Oh, God, I'd be shouting at buses by that point. Three glasses of wine, Kate. I'm really sorry. Sorry to disappoint you, but that really is my limit. You might be sort of wiping sick off me. Three glasses of wine, and I'm warning you, just be grateful we're doing it like this, because after three glasses of wine, I'd be repeating myself, I'd be falling over myself, we'd be apologising to everybody, it'd be an ugly scene. Anyway, there we go. At lunchtime, three glasses of wine, you mad?
With older and wider, very much in my mind here. I really am intrigued to hear your take on this. I wanted to talk to you about the hot hell that you describe as menopause. I want the realities, the harsh realities, the stuff they don't tell you, that sit within the pages of your book. But also, I can't believe that something so awful doesn't come with some sort of acquired wisdom at the end of it. So what the hell is the good bit, please?
Okay, right. The good bit is it doesn't kill you. I don't think there are any cases of the menopause actually killing you. And we all know what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So, you know, you will come through it. And
except for your bones, apparently.
Well, bone density is actually quite an important side issue of the menopause, and another reason to take HRT, because HRT is actually very good for bone density. So, I mean, I'm still on HRT. I'm 61 now, and I will be taking HRT to my grave, just in case. because, you know, I tell you who gets panicky if my HRT supplies run low, and that's the old man. I mean, you know, if I say, oh, I seem to be running out of HRT, he goes, oh, you can get some, though. Can you get some? Will you be able to get some? Like, and if you can't get some, can we get you some online? I mean, we could pay for some, couldn't we? We could maybe, you know, back in the olden days, he'd say, well, apparently you can get it over the counter in Spain. We could always go to Spain for the weekend, you know, back in the day.
Do you know what? That resonates massively. I went away with a girlfriend 2 years ago when there was a shortage on the patches. Yeah. And she had enough to see her through the holiday, but one, inexplicably, because I'm wearing one now, they don't barge in a swimming pool. Hers did, and it floated. And I could see it floating towards the filter in the swimming pool. And I swam for it. I swam for it, Jenny, because I knew what that patch
like
meant
Michael
to her.
Spitz. Do you remember Michael Spitz? You're too young for Michael Spitz. There was this American swimmer called Michael Spitz, and he won every swimming medal there was in one particular Olympic game. He was really good looking. He had in a really sort of traditional American kind of way. He was a big face of swimming. But well done. Did you get in? You got it. You got it.
I got it. Because, you know, for her, she only had enough to survive the holiday. Yeah. And she'd worked so hard to save up for this holiday that I wanted her to have the best holiday possible, and we were sharing a room. So there was, everybody's agenda was aligned.
You had skin in that game. You had skin in that game. You really did. So, well, for me, I mean, it wasn't so much about the physical sides of the menopause, which some people suffer from terribly badly, you know. For some people, the hot flush isn't just a sort of cardio-off moment. It's a strip-off and throw yourself in the frozen pee aisle. Mm. But that wasn't my big problem. My big problem was emotional. And it hit me at about the age of 52, when other things are hitting you anyway. I mean, I think this is what's interesting about the menopause, peri and beyond, is that it hits you at a time in life when it's the perfect storm, when everything is hitting the fan. You know, your parents are aging, falling to pieces, dying in some cases, you know, that wasn't part of the plan, and your children are leaving home, and work can be very difficult for women in their 50s. You can suddenly start being completely dropped off the list. You know, all those lists that you used to be on for potential jobs, suddenly they go, oh, should we just get a younger version of that? You know, there's got to be, you know, we'll get another daft one, but just 10 years younger. And so it comes at a time when your defences are pretty low anyway. And then this ridiculous kind of hormonal chaos that reigns. And for me, it was anxiety and weepiness and just an inability to cope and feeling very self-conscious and total lack of confidence. And that's not really like me.
I'm nodding along sagely here because you're describing everything I've just been through during this pandemic, that massive, that sense of being overwhelmed by something that would never normally faze you. Even a text message can overwhelm. The weeping, I remember standing at the big Sainsbury's thinking, shit, I can't see. And then I put my hand to my eyes and I was like, oh, because water's coming out of them. And I wasn't even crying. There was just water coming out of my eyes. And I wasn't even aware of it. And then you feel that makes you feel really strange and weird. And then the emotional kind of that then leads to a huge lack of confidence where you could be talking to somebody. And I've always been, you know, a communicator, a broadcaster professionally. Mm. I get halfway through a sentence and think, no idea what I was about to say. Shit. And then your confidence goes through the floor.
Yeah, or mine would be, I'm really boring. I haven't got nothing to say. I mean, I might as well forget what I'm going to say next because whatever I say is going to be really dull anyway. This person must think that I am the dullest person in the world. Whereas, you know, why aren't I funny? Why can't I be amusing? God, I'm so boring. There was that. And I remember that I just got to Australia, actually, and I'd got some HRT and I wasn't sure whether I was going to take it. Because there are, a lot of people are very anti-HRT. And, you know, if you listen to both sides of the argument, it is quite easy to be put off. But I listened to more more argument from the pro-HRT side. And I'm very pro it for me personally. It's been a miracle. I remember packing them right at the last moment, thinking, well, just in case. And I'd got to Australia and I was doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And I was on the floor at the prospect of getting up on stage in Australia and doing the show that I'd done in the UK and knew and loved and knew, you know, was a pretty good show. And that's when I decided to take the HRT. And, within about 3 days, I was able to sort of cope again. But that was the biggest thing for me. And, you know, there are other things that, you know, the elasticity on your skin and all the usual vanity things that everybody talks about. And I've never been particularly vain because vanity doesn't really work in comedy. You've got to be able to, unless you're using vanity as your shtick, which then is hilarious. It's a bit like, unless it's a character trope, that vanity is your thing, which, you know, we've seen in sitcoms and can be very funny. But for most comedians, it doesn't really work. You have to know how to leave your vanity at the door and how to know.
Well, you are the joke. Well,
yes,
not
you
always,
are the joke.
But
yeah,
often, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, getting older was never that big a problem because I wasn't in the beauty industry. I wasn't, you know, somebody who was employed for my sexiness, my cuteness and my looks. So that was a real plus for me. And also what gave me a great deal of support was the fact that my audience completely got it. The audience over the years has become more and more female. I mean, I started out in the pubs and clubs like most comics and you're performing to a very mixed audience. But I mean, if you came to one of my shows in the last 5 years, I'd say 95% of the audience would be women. And we had a few designated drivers. I always used to call the men the designated drivers. Because they would often be bringing, you know, a gaggle of women who wanted to drink. So they were the ones sitting in the audience, stone cold sober.
You are describing my dad, yeah.
Waiting for the end of the night, just thinking, oh, God, it's like root canal. And then the thing is once I got them laughing, that was always the best noise to get the men laughing. But yeah, the audience was so on side and so part of it. That it really was very helpful.
I mean, it shocks me still that it feels like a relatively new conversation, and yet women have been going through menopause since the beginning of humankind. The taboo part of it is gone slightly, but it's taken a lot, hasn't it, to make it a part of.
I think it has gone completely, more or less. With your generation, it will totally evaporate.
I hope so.
Because I was born in 1960, which was really the birth of women coming out of their shells. You know, I think in the 1960s, women still had to have, you know, their dads or their husband's permission to open a bank account. I mean,
that's right.
The very recent past of feminism is peppered with the most extraordinary stories.
Here's one for you. In 1982... landlords were no longer allowed to refuse to serve a woman.
Yeah.
They could until 1982. And
when you look at the recent history of gay people as well, it is shocking how long this country got away with being outrageously homophobic. But, you know, women were required to be polite and not make a fuss. And men didn't really know very much about the messy side of being women because men didn't really know about the messy side of what it was to be a woman. They weren't encouraged into the into hospitals when women were giving birth. You know, they weren't. My dad wasn't there when he was on the golf course when my mum.
They're not allowed.
Been.
They weren't allowed.
They weren't really allowed.
Were they?
No. So it's we've come along in great leaps and bounds. But then in some respects, there are some women who. I'd say in the 90s particularly who, what's that word, who denied being menopausal because it was all about being cute and that you had to be sexy till you die. And so admitting...
Who denied it? How did you deny it?
Well, I have never heard Madonna say anything about being menopausal. I mean, put me right here. put me right.
No, you're quite right, and that would be really helpful, because if Madonna,
you know, she has never actually come out and said, Jesus, some days are really fucking hard, girls. You know, it's always about, you know, being sexy at 60, and that's fantastic. It's absolutely great. She works very hard at it. But, you know, just now and again, it'd be nice to have a nod from some very big names that actually go, oh, sometimes I sweat like an absolute, you know. And I personally think that every GP's surgery needs to have at least one menopause expert in there. Yeah. Because when I went to my... I mean, I ended up going privately because my the male GP that I saw at my local clinic couldn't say the word vagina. And it was very, very... It wasn't because he had a speech impediment. He basically said, I think he said downstairs. And I just thought, Jesus Christ. You know, I was like, are you talking about my vagina? He was very anti-HRT. And I just thought, I'm not getting two sides of the coin here. I'm just getting one side. So, you know, I marched off to Harley Street, which... Oh, when I had money, I loved going down a private doctor's nan again. Do you know what? Now, sometimes you've got the best service and it's not that expensive. What you do, you go
privately. But it's not, but it is if you can't afford it.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
the
of course
thing.
It
and
is.
Then what about all those poor blubbing women that don't have, you know, that go in and get the guy that can't say vagina, that has got one very
fixed view
of the HRT. That's terrible, because this is about... This goes on for years and years and years of your life. Yeah. You need somebody that's open, educated.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Not somebody that can't say vagina.
Yeah, you know, I think we shouldn't underestimate as well how many women there are that really genuinely can't afford independent advice from anywhere. And it is a terrible situation. There are still some people who aren't asking for help, who are really struggling on their own. And the help is there, you know, the medication is there. It never used to be. It's, you know, I think my mother went through, I talked to my mother about her menopause, and, you know, her attitude was, she used to sometimes go down the bottom of the garden with a pan, and she used to bang a pan with a rolling pin and scream. And that was, you know, that was sort of her HRT. There's better stuff than that now. I think she used to take the odd swig of cooking sherry as well.
What are the upsides? Are there any upsides to coming out the other side of the menopause? And do you know yourself better? There has to be... I can't imagine that Mother Nature would put us through something like this without there being at least some sort of, I don't know...
Yeah, but I still can't understand why my tits are still getting bigger. There's absolutely no reason to have big knockers. I don't need them. I don't want them. Particularly, but they've got a lot bigger than they were when I was... My tits at 60 are bigger than they were at 50, you know. And they're totally unnecessary, you know. And they're just a bit sort of in the way. I could do without all that nonsense. And just the actual spread of things, the swelling. But what have I learned? I think it's very hard to learn things in the situation that we're in at the moment, because... We're all really struggling with our mental health, you know, regardless of hormonal stuff and all that. I am much more at peace with myself. I tell you what is satisfying, and I think that you will have this because you've always been a very hardworking girl, is that there comes a time when you can sit down and go, I've done a lot, I've worked hard, I've done some good stuff. There's enough to be proud of. I can relax a bit on this. I'm allowed to have a hobby now. I can even do a jigsaw if I want. You know,
wow.
I know. It's the absolute chase of it has gone. The I don't feel so agonizingly competitive and that I need to prove myself all the time.
That's good.
I think we've all learnt in this industry over the past year we can live on less money because, you know, there's not much to spend it on and you can't go on holiday. But I think being in your 60s is a weird one. There are other fears that happen which are about your own health. That's, you start thinking, ooh, oh, how long have I got? I've got enough money. Have I got enough money to, you know?
How long can I afford to stay alive?
Well, yeah, and I've worked out. I think I can about 72. So I better get a nice sort of voiceover or something. Well, I know I'm going to have to keep working till I drop, obviously. But, you know, I am thinking, no, I really need a big fat voiceover. You know, one of those campaigns that runs for 10 years. That's what I need.
Yes, please.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
After moving to London, your first job was at Camberwell Arts College. You were a life model for two terms, and then you found a job via an ad in The Stage looking for novelty acts and ended up that taking you on to do punk poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you played a German hotel worker in Off We the Same Pet. And I wanted to know, in a life that's been incredibly well worked, what have been some of the most ridiculous gigs you've ever taken?
I think that there was a lot of waitressing that went on. And there was, very early on in my career, I did a lot of extra work. I mean, I was really scrambling around trying to do, throwing myself at every opportunity there was. So around Camberwell, a bus would sometimes pick some of us up to do dancing on pop videos and things like that. I did a few of those.
Which videos were you in?
I did Boy George's Karma Chameleon is the only one that anybody would ever have seen.
And got to find you in that, Jen.
No, I'm right at the back. I'm a peasant at the back. You will never find me. But I did quite a lot of peasant work as well. I mean, there used to be a programme on Channel 4 which was quite cutting edge called Who Dares Wins, and it was a sketch show, you know, one of the first alternative sketch shows, and I was about 22, and I managed to sort of inveigle my way onto the sort of extra list. And so, you know, I would play plague victims. I remember once I had to be a woman in the restaurant with a chicken on her lap. And I think it was probably some gag about the chicken not being properly cooked. And I had to sort of, you know, put this live chicken on the table. And I was so nervous about this chicken because it wasn't meant to squawk or anything during the recording. And I had it so firmly in my hands. And I was thinking, oh, God, what if I killed it? Because it went really quiet. And then it's sort of just ridiculous, ridiculous, try hard. Extra bits of bob all over the place, and then gigging at night, waitressing during the day. All I remember of my 20s was being very short-sighted with an A to Z and trying to find pubs where I was meant to be gigging, and just the absolute, I don't know how we did it. We had no smartphones, we had nothing, we had these ridiculous maps, and you just have to work out how you got to places. It was, and some places weren't near a tube, and you just had to. Oh, it was really hard. You know, we were so
a slog.
It was a slog. Yeah, yeah. I did slog around for a long time, but you know, that's no bad thing. But in
more recent times, you've done some really lovely and ridiculous things, like being in the jungle with Sean Ryder and Stacey Solomon. Yeah. I mean,
I like a bit of a reality show. You know, there's
yeah, I love both of them as company. That must have been quite fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, Sean is full on. I'm quite full on. It was an odd year. It was the Gillian McKeith year.
Was it?
Yeah, she's now a COVID denier, of course. You know, she was always a ridiculous woman. She was ridiculous then. She's ridiculous now, you know.
Were you there when she fainted and then everybody thought she didn't really fainting. Faint?
No, of course she wasn't. She was just trying to get out doing jobs. that was hard work, actually. The jungle was possibly one of the hardest ones. You know, I think Splash was much easier, which was the diving one. Even though, I mean, the physical thing of the diving was ridiculous because there's only so much training you can do in so many weeks. And the bruising on your legs when you got it wrong, honestly, was shocking.
I can imagine.
It was shocking. They used to have to do some real cover-up jobs with, you know, sort of
spray
painting.
What made you want to do Splash?
Money. I mean, all of them have been for money. They've all been because, you know, the career has hit a doldrum period yet again. You know, it's. I hate to use the phrase roller coaster because it's so naff, but there are times when you really do, you know, go off track and you are in the sidings. You're one of those rusty old wagons in the sidings that nobody wants to use. And, you know, so you have these moments of glory and everyone thinks you're great. And next thing you know, you're being sacked again. You know, I was sacked from Loose Women. I was sacked from this and sacked from that. And
it's not necessarily sacked. It's just they don't renew your contract.
I was sacked, love. That's the term, I was absolutely sacked. They did not. They no longer wanted me on that show. I was furious. I still get furious about that. Mind you, it was good. Yeah, but I'm really glad that I was sacked and I will not use any other word. I was sacked. I'm proud to have been sacked. Don't anyone pretend I wasn't sacked. I was so sacked because it made me write another book. I could have got very lazy doing Loose Women and because you just sit there, don't you, talking.
Because you did it while I did it and we had some great times on the show.
We didn't do many together, though. I don't know what was going on. You were having other career things going on and... You know, I was just doing... Anyway, I wrote more novels and I'm really glad because, you know, the novels are good.
Yeah, the novels are great. You're a best-selling
author. I'm a great writer. I'm a bit lazy.
You really are, though, Jen. You're not lazy. If you look at how many books you've turned out, I mean...
You nearly said churned. You nearly said churned. You just caught yourself.
Turned.
Well done. Well caught.
No, you had a work of fiction out not so long ago, then followed by this, Older and Wider. I mean, like, you don't stop.
I've got a teenage fiction on the go. Yeah. Well, not as much as I could, but yeah, I'm having a very nice time with teenage fiction at the moment, which I'm not going to tell you the exact period, but it takes me away from all this on a daily basis. When I'm writing, I'm not in 2021. I am somewhere else, which I can thoroughly recommend. Because I'm in a place where I'm spending time in a place where there is no pandemic. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so you can't think of any more ridiculous jobs.
I very rarely stopped and thought, oh, this is absolutely bonkers. I mean, often it was, but there was...
Well, even when you're sat in the jungle watching Gillian McKeith faint, or pretending to faint.
Well, the thing is, I'm very easily institutionalised. I don't know about you, but once I'm in a situation... I find it quite easy to adapt to that situation, and that situation becomes what I have and what I am doing at this time. So you might as well give in to it. There's no good fighting it. You are sleeping in a hammock. You are, you know, outside all the time. It is ridiculous. You don't have any clean pants. You are going to a terrible lavatory. It's, you know, it is rice and beans. That's what I have a mentality that's very... I think inherited from my father, who's an old army officer. And it's a streak of stoicism that I have from both my parents, who are both Northern. And it's one of those things where I'm quite adaptable. And once I'm in a situation, I just get on with it.
Are you pleased that you've changed your mind about?
That's really interesting. I think that I in the past have been very, very judgmental. And I think that I've been quite snobby about things.
Like what?
Oh, people's taste. I can be very judgmental about, you know, how people live their lives. And I think that I am relaxing my grip on that because, you know, people, everybody is a product of where they come from and, you know, where they live and all sorts of things. And it's not for me to go around thinking, even thinking that people have got it wrong.
Yeah.
And I think people like Grace and Perry have been very instrumental in reminding me that there's a very big world out there and it's very good that everyone is different and we all have to be quite respectful of each, apart from people who don't wear masks, of course, we don't have to respect all of those. There are still some twats about, don't get me wrong here. I mean, you know, but I am much more prepared to see both sides of the argument. And sometimes that doesn't do me any favours. I do think that I'm a bit more flexible about letting live and let living. I didn't think I'd like The Sopranos. Fucking loved it. You know, there's loads of things where you just, the pandemic taught you. It's sort of, that sounds stupid, the Sopranos. I don't watch The Sopranos. I was but it was really boring. I don't want to watch that. And then, of course, you know, first pandemic, I think it got me through. I think The Sopranos actually got me through. Yeah, I think it's one of the most... Have you ever seen it, Kate?
I've got the whole box set of every series and I watched it with... Oh, gosh, I mean, we're going back a few boyfriends now. I watched it with a boyfriend and I just found it so violent that I stopped and I've never gone back.
See, I
which is crazy, right?
It is a bit because it's a work of genius.
Because I know it's good. I've run out of stuff to watch, Jen.
I think I have quite a big thing for gangster movies. I actually like a gangster movie. I really do. There's not much. I mean, I'm still the me that I was when I was four, really. I mean, I'm very much me. I know who I am. And I do recognise my faults much more quickly now. I know bad bits.
Do you think are you more tolerant? Are you more forgiving? You know, how do you think that you maybe have changed for the better?
Not sure I have. Do I have to learn things to be a better person? I don't think I'm really sorry. There's nothing I've learned nothing. I've not changed. I'm still as awful as I ever was. It's all bollocks. If I say anything, I don't mean it. No, I'm just exactly as ghastly as I ever was. Sorry. I've really struggled with that question.
This woman's not... What was the famous
phrase? I'm not for turning.
Not for turning. Perfect place to leave it.
Yeah, that's much better. That's much more me.
Yeah, there's me thinking the menopause was going to teach me so much. Then I spoke to you.
Listen, love, it'll teach you loads of things, but I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll forget them. I can't remember anything.
That is the thing.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? Right down to going into the doctor's surgery, and I'd made all these notes on my phone about to say to her, and this happened, and then this, and then this. And she was like, and then she told me all the stuff that I needed to do and I didn't write any of it down. And then I got out and my mum phoned me and she went, how'd you get on? I said, yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I had to phone her back and say, can you write all that stuff down for me, please?
Yeah, goldfish brain.
Write everything down.
Yeah.
And also I travel now everywhere around the house with post-it notes in my pocket because it's not just good enough, let me tell you, Jenny Eclair, to write things in your notebook and tick them off. But you also have to back it up with stickers over the house.
I've got these handy cards that I have in in my drawer, in my study here, for sort of...
prompts.
Yeah, yeah. Some of these are telly things that I might enjoy. Shopping lists. I've got one that actually says no swearing for when I'm doing telly Zooms. And I just prop that in.
you. It's so nice to see you. I'll see you in the park or down the big Sainsbury's.
Yeah, I'll see you around, gorgeous. All right.
Give my love to Jeff.
Will do. And love to that lad
I'll
of
look
yours
out for
as
him
well.
And his extraordinary mane of hair. Whenever I see you, I always see Jeff first because he's got sort of Barry Gibb's hair, but white.
It's bright white hair. All right then, darling. Loads of love.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we appreciate you loaning us your ears for the hour. If you are in any way inclined to do so, we'd love it if you could rate or review us. I know it's boring. I know. I hear you. I get it. It's admin. You don't need it. But it really helps other people to find and discover the show. The show is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Richard Hatherup for Yahoo UK, alongside Gabriella Colasurdo. And editing is by Callum Goddard-Mucklow. Our beats, as always, are provided by Andy Bell. So I'll see you next week. And until then, take great care and do as we always do and try to drink responsibly.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.